minute, see if it's going to kick back on again. Where am I at now? My glasses. Father, tonight as we have gathered in fellowship, we sense your spirit, and we know that you have something special for us every day. And this day is no different from the day before or the next day that will come. Father, this is the day that you have made for us to live in. You have designed this from before the foundation of the world and have ordained that we would be together this day. And the Father, we would hear your Spirit speak to us. So, Father, there's nothing I can say except open our minds and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us. This book is no benefit to us as a history book, but it's a now book that we need to get into our spirit so that it can affect our lives today and for the rest of our lives. Father, may that truly come to pass this night. Okay, chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answering, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he said, excuse me, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway, excuse me, took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of the servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents said, came and brought the other 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast what is that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. You oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent which from him, and give it to him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you thee at hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? Or when saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we sick, or saw you sick, or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. I was naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungered or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We ain't talking about hell there. We'll get there in a minute. Back to the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins. A lot of people want to say there was 5 false ones and 5 there, but they're all virgins. Did you know what Dad said this week? There's a virgin in you. He's not talking about your flesh. He's talking about the Spirit of God that's in you. And it's still pure. Always has been, always will be. But look what he says. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, when we think of a virgin, what's the first thing that hits our mind? I mean, normally we'd think, well, that's a woman who has never been with a man. See, that's what we kind of think. But he's saying the kingdom is kind of like these 10 virgins. So these 10 virgins are a parable of the kingdom. So he says, what do you think these 10 virgins represent? How would you make an understanding of it? What is 10? It's the law. And the virgin, speaking of the female side, and that's what the language shows, it's a female word, okay, a feminine word. So what would you say this is? It's the soul that has you bound up. It's the law of the soul. See, it's not just 10 virgins. It's the law of the soul. As long as we stay in that soulish realm, we're in prison. We're in prison. If we don't see this, then we'll never know what the difference is. Most people in church are in prison because the church is a soulish thing. It has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. It's just the soul. When we understand that, we're going to be able to tell the difference. That's why he calls the gift of discernment. If I can't discern the difference between a man and a woman, I'm in trouble. Wouldn't you agree? And see, the church doesn't know the difference between Christ and the soul. They think it's all, whoo, feel good. And that's God. It's not God, is it, brother? God is God. It's not about feelings. It's not about emotions. That's soulish realm. And that's where the church is at. But we don't want to just point this at the church. This is something going on in you and me. We got to know that I, as long as I am in my soulish realm, I am in prison. Do you hear me? We're in prison as long as we stay in this realm of the emotions and the feelings. Now, Jesus had feelings when he walked on the earth. He wept. He was disappointed at things. See, we can have emotions. We have them because God gave them to us, didn't he? He says, okay to have them, but we don't let them run us. That's what we were talking earlier about, the supernatural that we should be. It shouldn't shake us up, the supernatural. That should be the normal thing in our lives. You hear what I'm saying? We've got to get this mindset changed from thinking that we're these dirt people running around. We are spiritual people. It's not from Adam that we came. We created that mess. Oh, yeah, it's another message. But these 10 virgins took their lamps. And what is a lamp? Well, it's a vessel that flows, light flows out of, but you have to put something in it before you can get anything out of it. The word right there is olive oil. Okay. The olive oil represents what? It's the anointing. See, the vessels are no good unless the Spirit of God is in there. Everybody thinks that I'm saved, glory to God. That isn't going to get it. That's what them five foolish ones was. And see, there's half of them, five. Half of them's life and half of them's death.
See, five would be spirit, five would be
soul. Spirit and soul. Okay? So guess what? We have to realize that there's two inside of me. There's two natures in me. God made us this way. But we're supposed to see this and separate it. As you see through the Scriptures, you see people winnowing the wheat, sifting it out. Who do you think that separator is? It's God. See? God is doing the separation. He put it in there, but He still wants us to be separated. He still wants us to be separated. And He's going to do it. So there's two of them here. And that's two of them inside of ourselves. And they went forth to meet the bridegroom, which is who? See? Now notice, they didn't go in the meeting. They went out. See? We're not supposed to be going in. We go in, but then we got to turn around and come back out. See? These already had the oil in their lamp. They done went through their Pentecostal realm. See, they had the oil in their lamp. But now it's time to go out. And most of the Pentecostal realm, whenever they come to Pentecost, they think it's time to pull up a chair and sit down. Glory to God, I can speak in tongues. Think it's over. It's not over. Tongues is a key that unlocks the Holy of Holies. That's all it is. And it's in you. The Holy of Holies is not a building anywhere. It's within you. God dwells in the Holy of Holies, and that's within you. And this speaking in tongues, all it does is it destroys the pride in your life because it's not you speaking. And Paul, didn't he say, when I was a child, I spoke as a... When I become a... I put away childish things. He just got through talking to you about not wisdom, knowledge, prophesying in tongues. Did he not? Okay? See? Grow up. Peter and I was talking... I think we sat in today talking, or maybe yesterday. I don't know. We've talked all the time anyway, so I don't know. That... Everybody thinks this tongues thing is the only thing there is. It's not. And I lost my thought there, what I was going to say we was talking about. I have to let it go. It must not have been the right one. But they went forth to meet the bridegroom, which is the Christ. They're going to meet Him. And five were wise and five were what? Yeah. Now, five can mean two things. What does everybody tell you five stands for?
They say grace.
They say grace, but five is life or death. Did Jesus have five wounds on Him?
Yes.
He did. It can be life and grace, or it can be death. And I think half of these were dead and half of them was alive. And see, my soul ain't going to make it anyway. It's only the man in me that's going to make it. The man in you is going to make it, the Christ. That's all that's going to make it. The rest of it goes back to the dust. And the Spirit returns to the Father who gave it. And He says, they that were foolish. Now, you know what this word foolish really means? Dull, stupid blockheads. Does that sound like church folk? Dull, stupid blockheads. Now, that's what's in the language. Now, He's not talking about people. He's talking about a mindset that is so ignorant that he would even refer to them as blockheads. When we say somebody's a blockhead, what are we saying?
Stubborn,
hard-headed, stiff-necked. Just another way of saying it. Rather than hearing the truth, they'll bull up. You know, there's people who told me, I've showed them truth, they said, even pastors say, well, you know, if I'd change that, I'd have to admit I was wrong. Duh! We have to admit we're wrong. Make God true and all men liars. See? We have to come to a point where it doesn't make any difference what I think. It's what his father say. What's he thinking? And I didn't write it, but in this book in 1 John 2:20, he says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And that word is charisma. It's anointing. And that's Christ. And if you have him, what do you know?
All things.
Well, you'd say, well, I don't know everything. No, your mind's telling you you don't know it. Your spirit knows everything. Everything. But your intellect is holding you back. That's why he gives us all these things. He helps remove those things. But they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Isn't that amazing? You know how many people's running around with no anointing today? Now, we know that Christ is in all of humanity, right? We know that. Do they know it? You know, most of the people in the world know it more than the church. People in the world know Christ is in them. They say, I may not be living, but I know He's there. I may be caught up in drugs or alcohol or whatever, but He's there. I know He is. He talks to me. Okay? I can talk to people in the street easier than church folk. Church folk want to fight me. They want to get in my face and cuss me and threaten to shoot me and spit on me. And you know, people in the street said, you know, you talk to some man or woman down and out on the street and they'll say, you know, I know you're telling me the truth and you're not looking down on me. But the church world wants to fight you just over the truth. And they say they have it, but they don't. They built an idol up there and they've invested so much in it, they would be disappointed, they would be embarrassed, humiliated if anybody proved them wrong. And I'll tell you this, anything that anyone believes in, if you're afraid to lay it out in the middle of the floor, I'll take everything I believe and put it right on a table in front of you. And you examine it any way you want to, because it's not going to offend me. You can say you believe it. You can say you disbelieve it. It's not going to offend me. But I know what God has shown me. I know that. No one can take that away from you once you see what God has. Most people, if you tell them, put what you got out there, and let's look at it. Well, they'll probably keep their pockets stuffed with a few things. They won't bring it out. They're afraid to say what they believe. And then if you even ask them, well, why do you believe? Well, it's the truth. My preacher told me that. We've come to a day when it's not the preacher talking. You better have Christ talking in you, every one of you. And if you don't, then you're hearing nothing. If you're only hearing somebody else speak and not God, you're just hearing carnality. It's just carnality. It's just traditions and rules and regulations that man has made up to control and to manipulate you and to get your money. That's all it is. If that's all this is about, then let me just get out here and go on. Because that's not what I'm after. I'm not after any of that stuff. I just want my Father to be able to say like He did these people over here, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear. Enter into my rest. I have. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Do you know that Christ has been in humanity from the very beginning? It wasn't 2,000 years ago, it's 6,000 years ago in the creation in Genesis. But the people were sleeping. Sleeping speaks of unawareness. Their spirit is unaware of what's going on. And he said all of them slept and slumbered, even the wise ones. But you know what? The only difference was the wise ones had prepared themselves before they went to bed, before they went to sleep. Isn't that amazing? They prepared themselves. They never procrastinated. They never put anything off. They did what they had to do. And see, it's okay to have a time of rest. It's normal to have a time to sleep. You know, if you put a seed in the ground, it has to sleep before it grows. It has to go to sleep for a period of time. It's no different than us. God put this seed in here, and we have all different times, all kinds of seed, and all kinds of soil. And that has a definite effect on how the seed grows and how quick it comes out, doesn't it? You get a real hard surface on top of the ground, the seed, it'll push up there and twist around and come out all distorted. But if the soil has been broken up, loosened up, that thing will pop up out of there and grow big, healthy plants. Because the soil had enough moisture in it to not get hard. And that was that anointing we're talking about, that oil in the lamp. They had the oil in their lamp, so they were ready. They were prepared. And at midnight, or in the midst of the night, literally what it should be, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom comes, go you out." Note it was in the middle of the night. What's the middle of the night? What are we looking at outside?
Darkness.
In total darkness. That's the way God came to me. I mean, I was in total ignorance of God. I mean, I knew there was a God, and that's all I knew. But James said the demons and devils believers are God. So, just believing there's a God isn't good enough. But when I was at the lowest point of my life and was contemplating suicide, God just came in and took it away from me. He wouldn't let that seed be wasted. And there's not a seed wasted in anybody. Jesus said, Isaiah said, "My word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what it was sent there unto to do." That ought to tickle everybody. I can't believe you all just sitting here. To know that God is going to perform what He has said He's going to perform. And no matter what I do, I can't stop what God's doing. You can't either. You can say, "Oh, I've done so many bad things." You don't understand. He does. He knew it before you did it. You was going to do it. There's nothing that can stop God's purpose and plan. His word says His plan will prevail. I promise you that. If you don't believe Him, you won't believe me probably either, but I know what He says. In verse 6 it says, "Behold, the bridegroom comes," or literally appears. "Go you out to meet Him." See, not coming in, you're going out. See, when a seed grows, it bursts up out of the ground. It don't grow down into the ground. It bursts up first. And it can get the sunlight, and then it can put its roots down. I need my moisture now. I need my anointing. That's what God's trying to show us in this. So in the darkest time of your life, that's when you're going to get the call. And if you haven't had anything prepared, guess what? Well, we'll let you hear that in a minute. "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their wick," all their lamps. Now that word "trimmed" isn't right, first of all. Okay? "But then all the virgins arose and prepared their lamps." Prepared. Okay? Revelation 19:7 says this, "The bride has made herself ready." There's our responsibility. There's our responsibility. Make yourself ready. I used to hear in church when I first started say, "Oh Lord, make me a usable vessel." You better not be praying that one. You better not be praying that one. He's going to make you in what He wants, and He's going to wear you out. He'll use you. I promise you He'll use you. He'll use you so much there won't be any flesh left on you. And that's the whole purpose of this thing, is to wear your flesh plumb out. As they say down south, they wear it slap out. Don't get it all. And the foolish, and remember what I said they were? Dull, stupid blockheads, stiff necks, hard heads. They said to the wise, "Give us your oil, because our lamps are gone out." Now, he said they was wise. He didn't say the other five were stupid also. And what he's showing you here is, you can't get it from somebody else. You can't get it from your brother and sister. There's only one that passes this oil out. No man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. And there's the oil. When He calls you, there's no way He's going to set you out there and not give you oil. There's five preemies here. They're trying to walk into the kingdom without being prepared by the Spirit. That's what the man's tradition does. They try to get you to come in the house, just come in and say you're sorry, and I know I'm crude about this, but that's okay. They come up here and they snot and slobber all over a board, and they tell you you just walked into the kingdom of God. And the man that told you that's dumber than the board that told you that it's slotting on. That don't get you in the kingdom of God. The only reason you're in the kingdom of God is because of what Christ has done for you. Nothing that I can do. All we have to do is read the covenant. Jeremiah 31:31-33. "I will make the covenant," God says. "I will write in your heart. I will place it in there. And I'll choose you to be my sons and daughters. And I'll be your God." He made that choice too. He said, "I'll remember your sins and iniquities no more." And then he says this, and you'll no longer have need for every man to teach his brother, saying, know the Lord, because every man shall know God from the greatest to the least. Come on, what do we do?
Nothing.
It's all what he's finished. It's already finished. We just don't believe it. Our flesh wants to keep us out. And if you realize what this book says, that veil's already been rent. Just get ready to go. Just be prepared. But the wise answered, saying, not so. And you know, a lot of churches say, now these are selfish Christians. They wouldn't share. It's not about that. We're not talking natural things here. We're talking spirit. I can't give you my spirit. You can't give me your spirit. All I can do is feed the baby. And the baby will grow. Just feed the baby. They want to stretch you out and make you into the form that they want. In Psalm 77 or 78, it said, Israel tried to limit the Holy One of Israel. Well, that word limit literally is set a mark upon, or literally shape him into the idol they want him to be. And wasn't that what they always did? Make the idols? They make idols everywhere they go. And that's the same thing we do. We make these images of God in our head and what God's going to do. Has anybody ever figured out what God's doing yet by your carnal mind? We think God's going to do it. We build this image in our head, which is no more than an idol, no different from the Jews who bowed down before Baal or anybody else. Same idols. They just don't understand. They're trying to do it in their strength. And it's not by strength nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's all about the Spirit of God. We've got to quit this stuff of trying to do it in our own strength. Because when you're strong, He is. So if you're weak, let Him do it. When you get weak, He can work in you. Because see, He's not going to wrestle with you all night. About middle night, He's through with it. He said, not so. Literally, where it says not so and then lest, there's two words there that's added, not so. It should really, not ever will there be enough for us and you. See, I can't get enough of God that I can give it to everybody else. I can tell you about Him. I can plant the seed in you. I can stir things in you. But God already put the seed in you. Everything you need is already within you. The church says you've got to do A, B, C, and D, and section 2F and 4B, and all these rules and regulations and formulas, and it won't change anything. Everything you need is already in there. Doesn't the seed contain everything it needs to grow? All it needs is a little anointing, a little bit of water on it. And guess what? It was already in ignorance, darkness, wasn't it? It'll grow. So the seed's there. You have everything you need in you. All you need to do is learn to be what? Obedient. Not sacrifice, obedience. But said, but go you to them that sell and buy for yourself or purchase it for yourself. I think Proverbs says, buy the word and sell it not. Sell it not. That means you got more value in the word than gold and silver and precious stones that the world thinks is so precious. Nothing more precious than the word of God. Said, you got to do it for yourself, though. And when they went to purchase the things, guess what happened? The bridegroom shows up. How would you feel as a lady ready to be married to your man? And you say, whoops, I forgot something. And you run back to get it. When you come back, he's already picked up somebody else and left you. That's the kind of humiliation they felt, no doubt. But see, that's what we're going to feel inside of us if we're not prepared when Christ decides to make a move. See, the man chose when the bridegroom was coming. He didn't ask his woman, will you get married, did he? He came when he was ready in his time. He never said, honey, can we get married on the 1st of June? When he was ready, he come to take his bride. Didn't ask nobody about it. He just said, you're mine. Come. That's all there is to it. It's up to him. But when the bridegroom appeared, and that was Christ in us, and they were ready, right? And the word ready literally means they were already prepared. The bride had done what? Made herself ready. Now, you have to all realize that I'm not on the female side when I'm talking about this, being in a man's suit. But I sometimes wonder how the woman feels in her time of intimacy. I wonder if they feel the way that the man feels. And this is what he's talking about. They prepared themselves for a wedding. And on a wedding night, what's traditionally what happens? There's an intimacy greater than you've ever had before in life. When you find that one that becomes one with you, and that's Christ. And see, we all know about the natural sensations we're talking about. How great of a feeling is it when you know that you've married Him and it's not going to come, it's something that's already been done. This marriage has already taken place, but we're all waiting for Him to show up. And when we do that with that mentality, it tells me you never had no oil in your lamp to start with, did you? If you don't know that that marriage has taken place, then you're one of the dull, stupid blockheads. And that ain't condemnation. I'm just telling you what it says. See, we're stiff-necked. We have to prepare ourselves. How much time has any of you got in this world left? Then what would that tell you? You better get it now. See, I don't have another day to waste. Nobody has a day to waste. It's something we've got to do. This isn't condemnation. This is truth. You have to do what you do. You have to prepare to receive your man. You know, women go shaving their legs and plucking hairs off their face, all them things, getting ready for their wedding, you know, primping themselves up. How come we don't get our woman ready? How come I don't get my soul ready for my man? There's a problem. We're just saying, oh, he'll just come take me as I am. No. She's got to make herself ready. And the woman's the receptor. She receives from him. And when that comes in, there's a pregnancy. It ain't over yet. You got to carry it for a while. And that burden may be a little heavier than you think. He'll get you through it. Don't worry. But anyway, the five that had the oil, they were ready. They were already prepared. And they went into the midst of, the word with should be, meet it should be missed, into the midst of him, into the marriage. Oh my. Intimacy time. And the door was shut. When God takes us inside of his heart, the door is shut. Now's our time of intimacy. Now's our time of getting to know God. You never know your wife or your husband until that time of intimacy. And you got to spend time together. Talk is natural, spiritual. Don't make no difference, does it, brother? We have to know our wife. We have to know our husband. And that time of intimacy is when we really get to know who you are. See, we can talk and hold hands for a long time, and we really don't know each other until that time of revealing after the wedding, once the wedding has started. Notice who went in behind the door. Tell me who went in there. Five wise, five foolish. There was six went in there, though. The Christ man went in there, too, with the five. And with that Christ coming into your life is the only way that you're going to have the intimacy to know God. You can't know God by me telling you about Him. You know Him by intimacy. That's why we don't even call this place a church. It's a fellowship. And I get to know you because we get together. And the more we talk, the more we get to know each other, the more intimate we get in sharing the Word and sharing our lives, then we become really knit together. We can become one. And that's the whole purpose that God has in this whole universe, is bringing everyone into Himself. And I think that would make it one. That's what He's after. This whole book, there's only one message. And it's about Christ bringing us back to the Father. That's all it's about. It's all there is. One message. Period. And afterwards came also, or the word literally says eventually. Not afterwards, it says eventually. Remember them dull, stupid blockheads we're talking about? Eventually, even they're going to come. See? Thank God for reconciliation. I'm just tickled about it. saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He answered and said, truly, I say to you, I do not recognize you. I don't recognize you. Whew. That means they probably went to church and sat on the front row. Amen! Amen! Hallelujah! Glory to God! But they never knew Him. They never knew Him. See, that's what the church is full of today. Just performance. Performance will never get it done. We've got to have this intimacy with Him. And see, you can't be intimate with God by yourself only. You've got to be intimate with everybody else. Because the God in you is part of me. Every one of us, we're part of each other. You know, we didn't choose to run into each other. God has hooked us up the way He wants it done. My book says He put everybody, He placed everyone in the body the way He chooses. It pleased Him to set us together. So who are we to say, I wish that person wouldn't come to church. I wish they'd go away. I've had people come here for years now and say, I won't be here very long, you'll run me off. I said, I've never run nobody off. You'll leave because you can't stand the pressure of the truth, or you'll change and stay. Not my choice. I wish everyone that's been here would stay. I wish we'd have to kick the walls out just so we could tell so many more people truth. But I know He said this. There was a very small remnant. Isaiah said, a very small remnant. Jesus said, few there'd be that find a way to life. I think in Samuel He said there was 7,000 that didn't bow the knee to Baal. 7,000 out of millions of people is not very many, is it? Okay. Of course, that's first fruit. We're not talking about everything. Okay. Verse 13. He comes back and says, watch. Literally, it means keep awake. Now, see, they were all sleeping, wasn't they? They were all sleeping and slumbering. And I want to think the ones that were slumbering was probably the dull, stupid blockheads. Why would I say that? Because if you know you're prepared, you'll never walk in fear and doubt. But when your lamp has no oil, you're going to have one eye open wondering when He's coming back, not knowing He's already there. Right? He's already there. But someone who's not prepared is always going to have that eye open at night looking. You know, is that Him coming? I heard a creak in the roof. Did he land on the roof like Santa Claus? So that's what people think. He's already here. But the ones that were sleeping was probably the ones that had the oil on their lamps and knew they were prepared and said, Father, so be it. He gives His beloved rest, absolutely. Okay? He said, watch, or keep awake. Therefore, because you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Humanity will appear. Okay. Why do they call Him? Oh, I've heard some real wild things about this Son of Man versus Son of God. See, Jesus was the Son of Man. Why? Because He was birthed out of humanity. He was the Son of Man. And you are Son of Man, just as He was. You're no different. You have nothing less than what He has. You are a brother to Him. Now, Him being an elder brother doesn't make Him any better than you. And I know people don't want to hear that, but I can't help the truth. I've got brothers that are older than me, and I think they might have material possessions greater than me, but it doesn't make any difference. They're not even better than I am. Just because if you go into Scripture, the Jewish culture always gave everything to which person, which son? The oldest son, number one. But you know, God never used him. He always violated those traditions of man. So I'll take this over here. How about that eighth one called David? Huh? He never went with the pattern that they used. And God's doing that today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so why would He change courses now? But you are the Son of Humanity, just as much as Jesus was when He was walking in that flesh body. It was God in a flesh body. Is God in you? And you got a flesh body right now? Well, then what's the difference between you and Him? Nothing. It's only what we think. As long as we think, we can build them walls around us and stay right there in religion, and we'll never come out of it until at the end. It's a whole lot better to do it now. Verse 14. Because the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered or entrusted. I like the word entrusted. That's what it literally says. He entrusted unto them his possessions. He entrusted it to them. Does that show somebody that's been around a while? See, trust is something you earn. Respect and trust you earn. It's not something you just give to somebody, do you? Or you'll get burned every time. You have to earn it. So he said he'd give him his servants. So I'm saying his servants have been around a while. And he delivered them all of his goods. And he gave one 5 talents. And he gave one 2 and another one 1, right? And immediately took his journey. He went on his way, didn't he? Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made another 5 talents. This is somebody who in their mind realized, this is a gift God gave me. What should I do with it? I should multiply. Just like Peter said earlier, no subtraction, division, it's multiplying and adding. So he gave us this talent. Some of us 5, some of us